We're embarking today on a new study within the study that we had been in. So if you remember, it's been a couple of, many weeks now since we had started our study on ecclesiology, the study of the church, the ecclesia, the called out of God. That's the study that we looked at, and we started it sometime in the fall of the year, and we walked down through the outline of looking at different aspects of what it means to be parts of the church, that the church is a living organism before it's an organization. And we looked at the organism of the church, we looked at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, then we saw how the church did get organized so that it could effectively move out and witness and share the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, even within the book of Acts. And then we took a couple of weeks and looked at the ordinances that we recognize within the church, namely believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. And then that brought us to December, which we paused for the whole month of December to talk about the incarnation, talk about some Christmas hymns. And now we're coming back to conclude this study. And where we find ourselves in this study is our fifth section is titled The Observance of the Sabbath. And this is a topic that... frankly, I think is not discussed enough, and I think there's a lot of confusion on it within the church. And rather than me just making a flippant phrase about it and moving through it, we're gonna spend an ample amount of time on this topic, hopefully without overburdening the discussion, but at least 4 weeks, maybe up to 6 weeks, talking about the Sabbath. And you say, why is there so much to say about the Sabbath? Well, we have much to say about the Sabbath. We'll start off by just recognizing that today we're going to come into it and just give an introduction on the topic. And the reason why I want to spend so much time on this is because I might be coming at this from a viewpoint that I don't know if you would hold to the same viewpoint. I don't know what the teaching of the church has been historically on the recognition of Sabbath observance within our church, but I'm going to argue from the scriptures that Sabbath observance is not for the Christian. And so I don't know where you stand from that. And so if that kind of rubs you the wrong way, bear with me. Don't throw it out the window yet. That's why we're going to spend a lot of time on this, because we're going to look at this through the lens of the scriptures. And we're going to argue for the fact that that Sabbath observance was an Old Testament concept likened with the ceremonial law, and we're going to walk through multiple different facets of this, not just a flippant thing and throw it and then moving on. I want to make sure that you're not just hearing the words of man, you're hearing the words of God. And you're going to make your own decision by the end of the study on what Sabbath observance is. And so the question that we're going to talk about is Sabbath. Like, what are we even talking about the Sabbath? I think most of us in this room recognize that Sabbath is likened to what we read from Exodus chapter 31 today. It's talking about the day of rest that was given to Israel. One thing that we have to say right off the bat is today is not the Sabbath day. Just recognize today is Sunday. It's the first day of the week. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. The Sabbath is Saturday. So already we recognize something is different between the Old Testament and where we are today. So that's just factual. And then we have to look at a lot of other things. I'm going to argue for a bunch of different viewpoints on this as well. I'm going to argue that the Sabbath, as we read in this passage today, is an argument that the Sabbath was given uniquely to Israel as a sign of their relationship with the Lord. And they held to that sign very acutely and distinctly, and they were required to hold to it very distinctly, as we're going to look at specifically tonight. We're also going to see over the many weeks that Christians are never commanded to observe the Sabbath. And the whole New Testament scriptures, we don't see that again. Instead, we see warnings against Sabbath observance, if you're using it as a work. So we got to look at those passages and see what exactly they're talking about. We're going to see passages in the New Testament that instead talk about Jesus being the believer's ultimate Sabbath rest, and that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, and he's the substance behind the shadows of the Old Testament. What does that mean? What does that mean for us today? And so we'll have to look at those as well. And then, of course, why are we here today? What is the Lord's Day? How does the Lord's Day relate to the Sabbath as the first day of the week? And we're going to see that that's a pattern that was established very clearly in the early church. But even that, even the Lord's Day, is never a command that's explicitly given in the scriptures. And so there's a lot that I'm throwing out there, and I don't know where you stand on that. I don't know if that's all new to you, and you're trembling in your seat, and you're like, oh, okay, amen. So instead of that, what we're going to do tonight is I just want to ask the question, What would it mean to honor the Sabbath? If you were sitting there saying, no, I'm going to obey the Sabbath, I'm going to honor the Sabbath, which is your conviction to do so, the argument stands that, you know, what would that look like? What would it look like to honor the Sabbath? And you know, if we had a poll taken on modern evangelical Christianity, asking them, what does Sabbath observance look like? Every man would have his own opinion on what that looks like today. They would say, like, oh, I choose to honor the Sabbath this way, or I choose to honor it that way. Friends, you don't have that option. In the sense of saying, you don't have the option of choosing. If you're going to say the Sabbath observance is for today, the scriptures are very clear on how you must observe the Sabbath. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is the argument of there's no guesswork around what Sabbath observance looked like for the Israelites. They didn't have the opportunity to guess about it, because what happened if they were wrong? They were killed. So there wasn't guesswork around it. They knew how they had to honor it, how they had to obey it. And that's what we're going to look at today. Just looking at the instructions that were given to the Jewish people of how to honor the Sabbath. So the question tonight, all we're dealing with, tonight we're not even dealing with the question of, is the Sabbath for today? We're just asking the question of, what would it look like to honor the Sabbath? And so in order to do that, I just looked at the explicit commands in the Old Testament of what Sabbath observance looks like. Nothing implied from the text, just explicit instructions. And so we understand that these instructions were clear because there are passages in the Old Testament where somebody didn't honor the Sabbath and their life was taken, such as Numbers 15. There's a passage where a man is gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, which was against the law. And what happened? He was stoned. He was killed. And so I'll just note that while we dive into this topic, Orthodox Jews today who still say that they must honor the Sabbath, take the lists from the Old Testament and expand it out. I'm just going to give you a list of 8 explicit commands. But they take that list of 8 and they expand it up to 39 different categories of ways that you should be honoring the Sabbath, of actions that you cannot do on the Sabbath. And I'm not going to give you all 39 of those. I'm just going to, if they touch on the topics that we're talking about, then we'll mention them. But by and large, I just want to keep it to the explicit passages of what the Old Testament says about observing the Sabbath. And it is heavy, and it is unrelenting. So that's where we're going tonight. Let me ask the Lord's blessing again on our time. Heavenly Father, I feel burdened on this topic, that there's a lot of confusion in the church today on this topic. And we want to do things according to your will and according to your word. Help us to glorify your name through this understanding of this topic. Help us to understand what the Sabbath was meant for Israel, and what, if any, is our role in honoring it today. And today, Lord, help us just to understand what the Old Testament says about the restrictions laid down on the Sabbath. And give us clarity to understand that today, without even looking at whether or not the Sabbath is for today or not, just understanding, if we feel like we need to observe the Sabbath, then what we're looking at tonight is what we need to do. And so I just ask that you would convict hearts one way or another, Lord, as we go through the study. Give us clarity to understand truth. We ask for wisdom in this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the 8 items that we're going to walk through are the explicit commands from the scriptures on what to do or not to do on the Sabbath. 8 different things on your list there. I'll just read them out all quick. No working, which is kind of a bucket that's going to capture a lot of these other ones, but just so it's there on its own. No work, no cooking, no fires, no carrying. No buying or selling, no personal pleasure, no personal conversation, and no traveling. Got that? That's what we're going to walk through. Those are the more or less explicit commands. Let's look at them here. We read tonight and are starting Exodus chapter 31, which is on the law, on Mount Sinai when the Lord gives the Sabbath. And in verse 15 is really the key about talking about it, when the Sabbath is really given its name and its title. And verse 15 of chapter 31 in Exodus. So 6 days may work be done, but in the 7th is the Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So the key to understanding what the Sabbath is meant is that phrase, the Sabbath of rest. So I'm no Hebrew scholar, but the concept of Sabbath is the Shabbat. And the word rest is Shabbat, if you heard an inflection difference, that's what I'm going for. There's Shabbat and there's Sabbat. And one is Sabbath and one is rest. And the implication there is just that, is that they are meant to be almost identical. So the Lord does the same thing when he reveals his name to Moses from the burning bush on Mount Sinai. When Moses says, what shall I say? Who shall I say sent me? He says, the Lord is sending you. Yahweh is sending you. Tell them that the I Am is sending you. And so the implication from that text is that the way that the name Yahweh is spelt out, it's very similar, but not exactly identical to the I Am. And so the same aspect is here with the Sabbath. The Sabbath is just meant, it's meant to be rest. It's meant to be to desist from every aspect of work. No work at all should be done on the Sabbath day. And the fact that these words are put one after another is used in Hebrew literature to overly emphasize the point. Don't do anything. And we're going to see that as we go through the other items, is literally, don't do anything. Like, you're not allowed to do anything on the Sabbath. Just rest. No work. Uniquely so in this context, you could think about it in terms of vocation. But we're also going to see that it's very much more farther reaching than that. So first, do not do any work. Second, do not cook or do not gather food. This item is given in Exodus chapter 16 when it's mentioned as Israel is wandering in the wilderness and they're first given the manna in Exodus chapter 16. In verse 23 of that chapter, we see the Lord saying, he said to them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So the idea of seething is gathering, and baking is preparing those cakes. So if you're going to observe the Sabbath today, I mean, Saturday, you can't go shopping for your food, you can't go out into the yard and pick your food, and you also cannot prepare any food. All the food that you're going to eat on Saturday on the Sabbath would have to be prepared beforehand in advance. That would be truly orthodox view of observing the Sabbath would be not cooking, not preparing anything at all, or not gathering the food either. Okay, pretty straightforward. Third item is do not make any fires. This is again from Exodus 35. Verse 3 says, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Not kindling any fire. So there's a few implications. Not sure exactly what that could mean for us today, but there's at least three options. It could just mean fires referring to what the Israelites would have used to produce their trade goods. So like an artisan metalworking of some type. Like they would have had to light a fire in order to melt down the copper or the bronze or whatever they would have used to make their items. So the idea would just be, again, not doing your vocational work on the Sabbath. That's a possibility. Or it could be heat to cook foods, but we already captured that in another one. Or it could just be heat in general, combined with light. And so for this one, let me just give you what there's an Orthodox Jew who comments on this. His name is Nechama Goldfarb, just comments on this idea. And he says that today, the Orthodox Jews, at least some of the sects, take this instruction about fires to be referring to a change in electricity. A change in electricity. He says this, because use of electricity has been studied by people who are experts both in Jewish law and in physics and electronics, etc., and because electricity was found to be within the parameters of the use of fire, as in this passage, as well as talking about the opening or closing of energy flows, he says, because of that, we do not engage actively in the use of electricity on Shabbat. If we want electric lights, we put them on ahead of time, or we put them on timers so that we do not cause on Shabbat the transfer from potential to kinetic energy. So the Jews are saying that the Orthodox Jews who are trying to observe the Sabbath today are saying, we don't use electricity. Or we don't specifically do anything that's going to change electricity. So if the lights are on, that's fine. They have to stay on all day, but you can't turn them off. And if you need them on, you can't turn them on. You just got to leave them as they are. That's how they interpret that passage. Again, that's an implication of how it could impact today. This passage just says, don't kindle any fire. But again, modern Orthodox Jews say that means no change in electricity. So that's the third item. Fourth item, do not carry any weights. This is from Jeremiah chapter 17. Where it says in verses 21 and 22, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your homes on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I have commanded your fathers. And so really what we see in this idea of bearing a burden, carrying something or anything, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, take this to be really the heart of the issue. They say anytime you're moving something around, that's the work that's talked about. That's the work that God does not want you to engage in on the Sabbath. He says this, carrying is the prototype of all other types of Sabbath work. Now this is, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the quote. This is from a group called the Orthodox Union. Again, another Jewish sect talking about how they observe the Sabbath today, specifically about not carrying weights. He says, the definition of work is any act where a man demonstrates his mastery over nature. And so the first act by which man demonstrates a mastery is by taking something from nature and carrying them and putting it where he needs it. That was what the man did who was gathering wood. So if we are to relinquish our mastery over nature, the first requirement is that we do not carry anything. In a sense, by not carrying, we also relinquish our ownership of everything. A main sign of ownership is that one may take something wherever he pleases. On the Sabbath, we give up something of this ownership. Nothing may be removed from the house. He goes on. When a man leaves his house, he may carry nothing but the clothing on his back. It is God, not man, who owns all things. This category forbids all carrying in the street. Even such trivial things as a key or a handkerchief must be left at home. Pocketbooks, purses, wallets, keychains may not be carried. The only thing that you may carry outdoors are things that are actually worn. Heavy burden. But this is how you would observe the Sabbath based on the restrictions given in the Old Testament. Not to carry a burden at all out of your house on the Sabbath day. Just an explicit command in the Old Testament of how to honor the Sabbath. Our fifth item is do not buy or sell anything. It's explicitly it's talking about buying anything. But Nehemiah chapter 10 and chapter 13, I'll just read the passages. If the people on the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. We're not going to buy anything that the foreigners are bringing into the country. That's what they're saying in Nehemiah. And then in chapter 13, he says, there were men of Tyre who were dwelling, who were bringing in fish and all manner of ware, and they were selling it on the Sabbath under the children of Judah. And I contended with the nobles of Judah, and I said, what evil thing is this that you do, and you profane the Sabbath day? Because they were going in and they were merchandising with the people who were coming in to sell things within Judah. So the idea is, you can't buy anything. So that today would mean, no, of course, you can't go out to the store and buy things, but you also can't go online and buy anything. You can't use Amazon. You got to wait till the next day to order your thing in. Again, just not buying anything on the Sabbath day. The next two I put into separate categories just to emphasize the severity of them. It's the idea of not partaking in personal pleasure or personal conversation. Now, these aren't as much an explicit command as something that is given as a promised blessing to people on the Sabbath day, but the idea is there that's saying you should absolutely be doing this thing. It's not saying you're going to die if you do partake in it, but it's saying God prefers for the Jewish individual who's honoring the Sabbath to not partake in something personally pleasing or to not have their own conversations. I'll give you the passage from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, holy to the Lord and honorable, you will honor him. He says this, not doing your own things, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So it's a promise there that's saying if instead of going your own way, you come back and do what God wants to do, you focus on his words and you speak his words and you don't seek after your own pleasure. If you do that, then I will cause you to ride upon the high places and I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. But what this means is that you're not to partake in your own ways. You're not to find your own pleasure. That means the Sabbath would not be a day to kick up your foot and watch some sports on TV. That's what it would mean, is that it's not for yourself to just sit back and do what you want to do. It's not just to watch TV. It's not to throw around the pigskin. It's not to get caught up on gardening. It's not to do whatever you find mirth in. It's not for mirth. It's not for pleasure in your own things, but it's for finding pleasure and delight in the Lord, specifically in Him and in His Word. Sober-minded reflection on the things of God. Because of that little clause at the end of verse 13 is also, we just have to see it there. Not speaking your own words. That's a heavy restriction. Not speaking your own words. I mean, you can take that as what it implies or what it says. If it means explicitly what it says, not speaking your own words, it means you can't have your own conversation. The only words that you can say are the scriptures. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's all you're allowed to speak. Is that what he wants? I mean, that's what it says, but that might not be the severity of what it's going for. It might just more be implying that we're only going to speak about the things of the Lord. But even so, that means you don't just have conversation about what's going on down the street. That you're not just having whatever, you know, happens to be going on in life, what you're going to do tomorrow. That's not what it's talking about. You're talking about the things of the Lord. Not having your own conversations, allowed to speak the very words of the law. And the final explicit restriction in the scriptures, Exodus 16:29, maybe the one that a lot of people think of when they think of the Sabbath day restriction is not leaving your own home, or the context that's spoken of as a Sabbath day's journey. Exodus 16:29, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. This idea of not going out of your place on the seventh day has been identified by Jewish scholars as the Sabbath day's journey. That's a distance that's spoken of. That phrase is used in the New Testament that the Jews observed the Sabbath day's journey. They were only allowed to go 2,000 cubits. So for the rest of you out there who don't speak in cubits, 2,000 cubits is 3/4 of a mile. So you're allowed to walk 2,000 cubits on the Sabbath day, but you're probably not able to take your car because you might not be allowed to turn on the ignition because that might be using electricity. And even if you were allowed to turn on the ignition, you'd be moving a vehicle a certain distance, would be moving something over nature, so you're not allowed to do that. So you probably also couldn't take a bike because that would be moving the bike somewhere because you're not wearing the bike. So you can walk 3/4 of a mile, but that's the total distance, I would assume. So you can only go 1/2 of 3/4 of a mile. So these are the restrictions that are explicitly given on honoring the Sabbath day. Explicitly keep the Sabbath day by doing no work for your livelihood on Saturday. Do not cook any food. Do not prepare any food. Do not use any fire. Potentially, don't change any electrical flows. Don't leave your home. And if you do leave your home, you can only carry the clothes on your back. You can't shop. You can't sell anything. You can't buy anything. You can't play. There's no mirth. There's none of your own conversations. And there's no going any more than 3/4 of a mile from your home. I'm not taking any of these items out of context to try to make it sound more extreme than it is. It's extreme. The Sabbath day restrictions were meant to be severe and a burden. A burden in the sense of saying, stop working and turn to the Lord. You worked for 6 days. Now stay at home and honor the Lord for your seventh day. Stay at home and think about the things of the Lord. Talk about the things of the Lord. Don't try to squeeze some way to work in it. Just sit back and look at him. That's what the Sabbath was meant to do. It was meant to be heavy. It was meant to be unrelenting. This is how the law of God was. It was also meant to point to the fact that we needed somebody to save us from the law. But the truth is today that the point of going on this is that if we are today supposed to honor the Sabbath, this is what we have to do. Not taking things out of context. This is how you would honor the Sabbath. You're not given the opportunity to say, I'm going to honor it my own way. I'm just going to choose to do this thing over here. God doesn't give you that opportunity. He doesn't say, decide for yourself how you're going to honor the Sabbath. No, he very explicitly said, this is how you do it. This is how you're going to do it. But at the same time, note, I'm not making the argument that just because it is difficult does not mean we are let off the hook. That's not the argument here. That's not the direction that we're going to at all. Today, we would either obey the Sabbath because it is commanded to those who are under the law of God, or we would honor the Sabbath because we've been freed from the law and the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his followers to honor the Sabbath. And so the thrust of the next 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to argue that Jesus never once said that. That we are under grace. We are not under the law. that the Sabbath is meant to be a ceremonial aspect of the law. And we're going to go through all of these arguments. And over the course of this, what we're going to do is we're going to walk through this from the narrative, starting right back in Genesis. And we're going to walk through the whole Old Testament. And we're going to see how the Sabbath was given and all the times that it was mentioned and what its purpose was for it. Hang on, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me step back here a second and just say that before we get to where we're going, just consider a few thoughts, just food for thought, an additional on this today, on Christ. Consider the Christ, and just a few more context on this here today. Consider Jesus's work. The primary work that Jesus as the Messiah came to do was for our redemption. Now, when the earth was created back in the beginning in Genesis, God worked for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. That was the prototype, as it was, of the creation narrative. You know how long Jesus worked at the redemption of mankind? Specifically, I'm talking explicitly, the redemption, when he was paying for the price of our sins. It was 6 hours on that cross. He rested on that cross from the third hour to the ninth hour. And then he rested. The work of redemption was finished. That's why he said, tetelestai. It is done. Redemption has been paid in full. Nothing additional is needed. He paid the full price. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father because his work was done. There's nothing else that he needed to do. And he rested. He rested after he finished. Another food for thought is that Jesus, his example and his teaching on the Sabbath is going to move in the opposite direction of all of his other teaching on the moral law. Say that again. Jesus' teaching on the Sabbath moves in the opposite direction of all of his other teaching on the moral law. We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say about murder and adultery? He likens them to hatred and lust. He says it's not just the action that you do, but it's the thought that is condemning you. But he says the opposite for the Sabbath. His argument for the Sabbath is the opposite. We see in Matthew chapter 12 that when his disciples are picking ears of corn on the Sabbath, which as we just saw is explicitly commanded against in the Old Testament, not implicitly, it's an explicit command, do not gather food on the Sabbath. His disciples did it, and he just forgave them. He just tossed it out. He didn't condemn it. He just passed it by. He lightened the impact of the Sabbath. Why would that be? We have to look at why that is. And we're going to do that over the course of this study. So the bottom line, and we're going to look at it, is that I'm going to argue that observance of the Sabbath is not a requirement for Christians. Keeping the Sabbath, it goes in with all of the other sacrificial laws. It's not necessary for those of us who find ourselves under the new covenant through the law of Jesus Christ. We don't keep the Sabbath for the same reason we don't sacrifice lambs for the remission of sins, because we enter into God's rest when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight's role is just to whet your appetite for the study and to encourage you that if you believe the Sabbath observance is for today, you're not free to determine what that looks like. If you are convinced in your heart right now, before we go into the study, that you need to observe the Sabbath, these are some of the things that you have to do. And there's probably further things that are implied from the passages as well that you would have to look at. But of course, I'm not going to argue in that direction. I trust that by the end of the time we get through this, that you're going to agree that these restrictions are not meant for us. That these restrictions are meant for the Jew. It was meant to be a sign for Israel. And we are freed and under the law of grace as Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So where we're going in conclusion is over the next couple of weeks is first we're going to start with that narrative. We're going to trace the use of the Sabbath through the scriptures. Talk about it from Genesis, what it meant in Genesis, and then walk through all of the scriptures, through the Old Testament, through the Gospels, to see when it started, where it meant, is it referenced in the prophets, where is it going in the future, and what Jesus did. Did he observe it? And then we're going to look at what it means that we're here today on Sunday, the Lord's Day. What does that mean? How this topic was treated by the early church, how they handled the Sabbath being Saturday, and how they contrasted with how they handled the Lord's Day, how they handled Sunday. And we're going to see that their practice gives us a tremendous example that we've been following. And then the majority of our time, we're going to look at this from a theological lens. We're going to look at the fulfillment of the law. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath? What does it mean that he is the manna that came down from heaven? What does it mean that he is our Sabbath rest? We're going to look at the passages. Does the New Testament anywhere command us to observe the Sabbath? We already imply that it does not. We're going to look at some of the passages that warn us about observing the Sabbath and what that means. And then, of course, we're going to conclude by the role that Christian liberty plays in all of this. And since we're going to be here for a while, you know, I picked a new theme song. Because wherever you fall at this point, we all agree that Jesus is our resting place. And so our new theme song for the course of this study is number 481. I invite you to just to turn with me, and I just want to read some of the verses for you as we close. Tonight we'll just sing verses 1 and 2. But again, that's 481. Let me read the two verses, then I'll close us in prayer. Wherever you fall at this point on the Sabbath and on your observance for it, we understand that Jesus is our rest. We rest in him, we abide in him, and we take comfort in him. The verses go like this: Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me to gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. And verse 2, how great thy loving kindness, vaster, broader than the sea. Oh, how marvelous thy goodness, lavished all on me. Yes, I rest in thee, beloved. Know what wealth of grace is thine. Know thy certainty of promise, and I've made it mine. Heavenly Father, I just ask your blessing on this study as we go forward over the next few weeks, Lord, as we really dive into this topic of what the role is of the Sabbath today. How are we to observe it? Are we to observe it at all? What is our role in coming together here on Sunday, which is no longer the Sabbath day? Has Sunday taken over the Sabbath for us? Are we supposed to do everything that the Jews did on the Sabbath, but just do it today? Or are we freed from that, intending to be gathering for a different purpose? Lord, there's so many questions that we have at this point, and I just ask you would give us patience and wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth. And in our own time, if there are more questions that we have, help us to be the part of the Berean, to dive into your word and not let that book of the law depart out of our mouths, but to meditate therein day and night. Glorify yourself in the study, Lord. And as always, I ask that truth would resound in this place and any falsehood that is spoken would fall away. Thank you for your great love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. With that, I invite you